a response on our part. I'm going to share some scriptures. Psalm 100, verse 4 in the Amplified. You know this one. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. What's his gates? It's his presence. Praise is for his character, and thanksgiving is a response to who he is and what he does. And it just goes on to say, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues for all generations. So why do we give thanks? Simply because of who he is and what he's done for us. But I want to get into more specifics as we go on about, like, reasons why we're thankful. I want to share some. And some situations where it's not easy to be thankful, but he's asking us and encouraging us to be thankful. And it's really a weapon. It's really for our good. We're going to find out. Another scripture that I've meditated on almost daily since COVID. I remember Jim LaFoon, our senior apostolic guy in our Every Nation movement, saying in COVID, he didn't jump out of bed and put his feet on the floor in the morning because it was a hard time until he meditated on certain scriptures. And I kind of started to find that was my practice. And this is one of the scriptures I've just really held on to. I'm going to read it in the NIV and then the Passion. Philippians 4, 4 to 8, you know this one. Rejoice in the Lord always, always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. In verse 6, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And then it goes on to say in verse 7, and the peace of God will guard your hearts. So that's a byproduct of thanksgiving. I guess that's another thing. Peace, right? And then in the Passion, I love this. Be cheerful with joyous celebration in every season of life. Think of your life. There are good seasons, happy seasons, easy seasons, and there's more difficult seasons. And he's saying every season. I mean, that speaks to me, you know. It's kind of like a little check, you know, like a little grid to kind of run your life by. Like, it's a hard, difficult season. Am I still being thankful? And then it goes on, let joy overflow. I love this picture of overflow. I picture like a dam, you know, with the sluices, and the water's gushing out. Some of the sluices is dried up. Some of them where they let all the logs out, it's just gushing. Let joy overflow. And then it goes on to say, offering your faith-filled requests with overflowing with gratitude, and the peace that transcends your mind will guard your heart and mind. But I love that part about unity. I'm just going to add that. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Right? The Lord is near, I think it says in one translation. Like, how are we interacting with each other? The Lord is near. He's asking us to walk in such love with each other and humility and gentleness. Because that's what he does for us. That's what he's asking. And then the other scripture I'm going to share is 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18. There's so many scriptures on thankfulness. They're all through the Bible. Like, I Googled them all. It's everywhere, but these are the key ones I want to use today. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18 in the NIV, rejoice always, pray continually, and 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And then in the Passion, I love it in the Passion, let joy be your continual feast. Just think of a feast, like think of going to your favorite buffet, you know, and there's the prime rib and the really mouth-watering, ice-cold salads, you know, like crispy, crunchy, and the vegetables are just done to perfection, not overdone, and it's saying, like, let joy be your feast. Now, that's a little different than thankfulness, but it's asking us to be joyful. You're getting more than you asked for this morning. And in the midst of everything, always give thanks, for this is God's perfect plan for you in Christ Jesus. I think it's his perfect plan because, right, we can never outgive God. There's things for us in this, and he knows it. And that's why he's encouraging us. So all through the Bible, and Father God is asking us to be thankful, but why? Why? I said it simply because of who he is and what he's done for us. But I want to get into some more specifics. Why and when? Why? Simply because it is an expression of trust that ushers us into his presence. When we're able to trust him, to offer thanksgiving, we can enter into his presence. We can experience intimacy with him. I'm going to share two quotes. They're not mine. They're Bill Johnson, but, you know, he's so brilliant. And he has a way with words. Like, he just comes up with these expressions, and they're so thought-provoking. You go, how did he come up with that? Well, obviously God, but God uses them that way. So I'm going to share them, and then I want you to take a couple minutes and just reflect on how that applies to you or how that affects you. So he said, firstly, one of the things he said in a message on Thanksgiving, any area of our life that we are not able to be thankful for shows self-trust. Or in other words, that's an area of our life that we're going to solve ourselves because we actually can't humble ourselves, turn it around, acknowledge his sovereignty, that he's going to work all things together for good. And he's working on our behalf. Just maybe take a couple minutes and think about that. And any examples where that might have been true in your life or is true in your life, or an area of your life that it might be an area of vulnerability, that you could go to that. And then I'll share the second quote. Okay, I'll give you the second quote because maybe one of them you'll resonate more with and you can reflect on it as well. So any area of our life that we're not willing to be thankful for or in will have influence or control or too much control in our life. Okay, just think about that. Like, almost like there's an area you can't be thankful for. It's almost like your mind is going to be preoccupied, obsessed with it. You can't get it out of your mind. It's going to torment you almost. So I'm going to say that one again. Any area of our life that we're not willing to be thankful for or in will have an influence or control or too much control in our life. So just take a minute and think about that. If there's any area of your life that applies to, or maybe in the past, you're free now. Or maybe it's an area where you know you could be vulnerable to that. Just take a minute. It's powerful, isn't it? And maybe later you'll have an opportunity to share some of those reflections you've had with someone else, or even in the open time of sharing what we're thankful for. Like, maybe what you share will come out of that reflection. I'm not sure. But anyways, I know it was a powerful little exercise in my own life. I just want to give you two examples that I hadn't really thought about, but it really impacted me. On times that we could be thankful, from Jesus' example. And the first one was the story in John 6, the story of feeding the 5,000 with two loaves and five fish. He gave thanks in a time of lack. And it says in verse 11, Jesus took the food and gave thanks. When was he giving thanks? A situation where there was lack. And I don't know about you, but I know that in my own life, that's not usually the first response I have. There's a lack, whether it's an emotional lack, a health issue, there's a lack, financial lack. But that was Jesus' example. And why did he give thanks? Because he trusted God, that God was going to, Father was going to provide. In the moment, he knew Father would provide. So he broke the bread and gave thanks. He trusted his Father's the sovereignty, his provision. And so I think that's just an amazing, it wasn't a glib, you know, the name it, claim it. It was heartfelt. He truly understood that his Father would provide in that situation. And then the other example, a Jesus example, and I'm sure there could be more, but I'm just going to give two. In 1 Corinthians 11:23, it says, the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is broken for you. So it was when, in a moment of betrayal, Judas later betrayed him. I don't know about you guys, but that's not usually my first response. You know, if I've been, we've all had situations in our life where we have felt abandoned, betrayed, let down. It's horrible. I know for me, the first response is usually deep hurt, pain, and fighting any bitterness that I might want to go to, right? In that moment of being abandoned and betrayed. And yet Jesus, he gave thanks. Again, it's a sign of trust. He trusted that his Father had him, had the situation, was going to turn things around, provide for him. So those are two examples from Jesus. And I just want to talk about four reasons to give thanks, and I'm sure there's more. I already shared peace was a byproduct. But these are four that I just felt to share today. And I already said the first one, it ushers us into presence. And again, it's that trust thing. When we can trust, we can experience his presence. When there's an absence of trust and thankfulness, there's usually a block to really hearing from him completely and experience that peace, that presence. And I mean, it goes along with what James Jordan talks about anxiety. Whenever there's an anxiety in our life, it does, in that area, it blocks us from hearing from God. I think it's the same with a lack of trust, a lack of thankfulness. We are not able to be walking in presence and hearing from him, which is exactly what we all want, right? All of us want that. Okay, the second one, it changes our perspective. How many have experienced that? You are thankful. You're in a situation which isn't good, and you start thinking of the things that you can be thankful for, and it changes your perspective, which is huge. So I might be just speaking to myself, but none of you like have ever had a relationship issue with your spouse or a disappointment or a frustration with your spouse or a relationship. I mean, just speaking to me, right? But, you know, it's so funny. If you just start being thankful, like just start with the real general things that you can be thankful for, the really broad, because you can't really go there. You know, like, I'm thankful, you know, for my husband because he loves God. And he loves me, even though I don't feel it right now. You know, and we share the same love for our children. Like, you know, you just start with the real general things. And if you're willing to go there, it's amazing how your heart changes, right? Like, you get Father's perspective. Your perspective changes on so many things you can be thankful for. And in that situation, your heart changes to that person, that relationship. I remember receiving some ministry once, and that's what the minister said to me, you know, start your thankful list. Sometimes we need to write things down in an area that we are thankful for. It changes our heart. It changes our perspective. And I don't think it's being, it's not being false, if I can say that, or hypocritical, like it's actually there are things in any situation we can be thankful for. And Father knows it's his blessing to us. It's his almost like a hidden weapon to say, I'm asking you to be thankful and to practice this. Another would be like health issues where we're waiting on God for promises he's given. I was in a prayer meeting recently with two dear friends, and we're praying for one of my health issues, and someone had a word that said, Father wants you to start being thankful for the improvements you've already seen in that area. And, you know, I mean, we maybe all know that, but we need to hear it again. And, you know, sometimes you can minimalize because you want the whole healing. But to start to be thankful for what you have received already, knowing that if he's promised the whole and complete healing is going to come. It reminds me of like just, I was thinking about this as I prepared this. How do we wait? How do we wait on the promises of God? And it reminds me of that verse in Isaiah 40, 31 in the Amplified. It says, this one has been especially meaningful to me. Those who, it says in brackets, wait, expect, hope for. Okay, those who wait, expect, hope for. It goes on to say, you know that verse, the Lord will renew their strength, lift up their wings, run, you know. But the whole thing is, how do we wait? Are we waiting in expectancy? And I like to think of hope, like it's joyful anticipation. And the example that I heard recently that really spoke to me, so if it speaks to you, take it. An example of a little boy who knows his dad is hiding behind the door about to jump out on him and tickle him. And how does that little boy feel? He's got this joyful anticipation. He's anticipating this is going to happen, and he's going to get tickled, and he's going to really like it and, you know, be laughing. Maybe be in pain, whatever, but it's going to happen. He knows it. Like the dad is behind the door, ready to jump out. And that is joyful anticipation. And I think that is part of how we wait for certain promises and things that God has spoken into our life. And it's all that, again, it's like practicing the thankfulness, the joyful anticipation. I hope Amy doesn't mind me using this. This is her life, and her stem cell transplant were much more painful for her than me. But I also, as her mom, found it very painful because I was one of the primary persons in her room. And it was a very difficult time watching her go through that, and we're grateful for it. But I remember after it, and I think this was Amy's perspective, not just mine, but we found out hers was in August and September of 2020. And COVID was on, so there was only two personal support people allowed. But we found out later from the nurses on that unit that some of the patients that had to have their stem cell transplants in, say, February or March of that year could not have one other person in the room with them. And they could not handle the emotional pain and trauma on their own without the support of another person. And they actually self-checked themselves out and discontinued their treatment. And we thought back on that, and it wasn't like we were grateful that Amy had cancer or had to have a stem cell transplant. But, you know, we were grateful for the timing that she could finish her treatment and she could have two personal support people with her. So, you know, there's so many things where you go, it's not a great situation, but where can I be thankful? Where can I practice that gratitude which changes my heart and keeps me close to Father? So, the other one, I have only one more point after this, is it keeps us from bitterness, resentment, disappointment, and disillusionment. I don't know how to say this, except it's a weapon. It's almost like a hand sanitizer or disinfectant, because our heart will often, I mean, those are two of the biggest areas that the enemy wants to attack us in, right? As believers. Disappointment and disillusionment, bitterness and resentment. I mean, he uses other tactics too. We know he uses fear and he intimidates. But those are two of the biggest, because it happens to all of us. We all have trials. And if he can draw us away from God, if he can lock us into those things, we don't get to experience the fullness of intimacy with the Father and communing with him, which is so, so precious to all of us. And so it's just a protection for our hearts, because we have to choose to walk in thankfulness, whether it's a relational issue, a health issue, a financial, whatever it is. There's things, right? And so it's such a protection. We need to practice thankfulness, or choose to be thankful. Actually brings hope. And that's so important, because I know I've been meditating, and I shared this a couple weeks ago on Psalm 71 and 14, 15, and 20, where it just says, but as for me, I will always hope. I will praise you more and more. I will tell of your righteousness, of your salvation all day long. And I know for me, I can't do that if I'm down, discouraged, feeling sorry for myself. And I want to do that more and more. And I think that's what the psalmist, that's what David talked about. And the only way we can do that is to stay in hope, to stay in relationship with him and realizing his goodness to us. So it's so important to have hope. And then it says in Romans 5:5, and this hope in the Passion is not a disappointing fantasy, because we can now experience the endless love of God cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Whoa, so we want this hope, because it allows us to experience the endless love of God cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. It's Trinity, right? The Father, the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit. So anyways, we have so many reasons to be thankful. Come, let us enter his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. So I just thought maybe we'd end before Brant comes up and leads us into an open time, if people have something they want to share. I'm going to suggest probably 2 minutes maybe, so everyone can share. But just to take a minute for personal reflection, just before we open up with that. If there's any area of your life where, you know, just the things you're thankful for one. But if there's any area of your life where you've allowed bitterness, resentment, disappointment to enter your heart, I believe that here in the presence, in his presence, there's the power of his love to just help you bring release from that today. And if you need prayer with somebody later, we could just be up here and pray with you. But just, I think in this moment of silence, if that's where your heart is, there's grace for you to just give that and feel released from that today. And if there's anybody that wants to recommit their life back to the Lord, because I'm looking at the eye, everyone here knows the Lord, then this is an opportunity to say, I want to get back into that deep, heartfelt connection with you, where you're the number one priority in my life. So just take a couple minutes and just reflect on those things, and then I think Brant's coming up.
Silence is presence. It's precious. I'm having a hard time being serious in my outfit here, but but there's joy. It's just, yeah. Trample on snakes. Let's just shift this now. I just felt as Jen was speaking, this verse came to mind, and ponder this. You know, we're going to move further into communal reality that this won't be as much. There'll be times of, say, monologues or teaching, but there's going to be times where it's dialogue. Because within each of us here, there is a depth and a wealth of life that you wouldn't even be here if we wouldn't have been grateful, right? And it's not like we go and list, oh, all the bad stuff that's happened, and I'm grateful I'm still around. There's something going on that is much more powerful. And that is, I was down with the kids there, but as I heard over time how easy it is to forget, and remembering what he's done and hearing it from others takes me back to the memories of where he's come through in my life. And there's many times when you get to that place where you kind of go, oh, could it get any harder than this, or is this that? And then when you stop and take that silence and you ponder these things, it really comes back. Paul says to this, and telling the Philippians are going through some pretty harsh persecution. And so I tell you, keep on at, no, that's not the one. Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Today has enough stuff, right? Instead, pray about everything and tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. For what he has done. And there's something about it, just talking, it's the entrance. It's the place that you come into that presence. And it's the Romans 8 beautiful promise. It's so hard to interact, but he will use all things for the good. He didn't create them, but all things for the good for those who love him. That story in Luke 17, where the 10 lepers come, you know, they come up to him, and he doesn't even pray for them. I find it fascinating. Those who seek him will find him, and they seek him out, and they're not allowed to be. There's a Samaritan amongst them. We don't know if the rest were, but they're pressing in, and he just says, go and show yourself to the priest. That's all he says. It's not, I'm praying for you, or let's, you know, a Bible lesson or anything. And as we don't know, it doesn't say when they got healed. Was it when they turned? Was it when they were walking? Was it, it had to happen before they got to the priest, because the Samaritan, I'm healed. Oh my gosh. He turns back, and he's the only one that comes back. And Jesus has that interesting statement at the end. Where are the others? What I have found in my lack of thankfulness on a continual basis is I'll forget to come back to the source of all this, of all that is good. And it gets clouded, it gets mixed up, it gets taken over by circumstances, right? So I love this. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. And his peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Okay, what's the final thing, Paul? Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. I took those names and I wrote them down. I think one version says noble. And I started writing out that list. And I'm not a guy that follows structures that much. But I thought, I need something to remind myself, especially when you're doing great, you get this big list. But it's when you're kind of going through the hardest part, do you pull it out? And think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise, and then keep putting into practice all you've learned. Amen? All right.